Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for SportsCenter 590 The Fan. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors finished up their 7-game homestand by taking care of business against the Sacramento Kings, who I just have to say are tremendously awful. Like, if the Kings were remotely good, this would be a slander pod, but they're so bad. So it might be a slander pod regardless, but honestly, it's like that. This team is just so bad. When you're turning to Tristan Thompson to be your spark plug off the bench, to be the responsible adult in the room, Tristan. Anyway, this is not about the Kings. This is about the Raptors, who comfortably come away with a 124-101 win over the Sacramento Kings. The Raptors have had very few comfortable games this season. Even in some of the wins, they've obviously been, you know, a little stressful, like the Kings, like the Knicks game just last week. However, the two games the Raptors have played the Kings, the two times they have matched up against them, it has been comfortable each time. Both times, the Raptors coming away with double-digit victories. And in this game, the Raptors, I mean, I wouldn't even say it was close in the first quarter. I mean, it's just close because you start, you're both starting at zero. So it takes some time to create that separation. But that second quarter there was one of the best quarters the Raptors have played all season, outscoring the Kings 40-23 in the second quarter. That alone was enough to win this game. You know, the Raptors kind of played it even for the second half with Sacramento. But yeah, I don't know. The Raptors also just didn't kind of need to do too much else. This Kings team wasn't really going to put up a fight, really. It wasn't really going to throw a punch back. And yeah, this was just a really nice win. And it's kind of one of the best wins in terms of the sense that, like, obviously, you know, beating Sacramento is not some sort of like huge accomplishment. But I think the thing that you enjoyed the most about this game is a few things. Number one, every single player who played scored. And that includes everybody off the bench who, this is the best bench performance we've had all season. Utah with 12 off the bench, 12 and 10. Wow, double-double for Utah. That might be his first career double-double. Happy for him. Justin Champagne with 10 points off the bench. Malachi Flynn with 14 points in 14 minutes off the bench. Honestly, was hitting so many pull-up jumpers. It was incredible. Like, he wasn't even doing this at the G League level, so he comes up here, and I guess that means Sacramento's lower than a G League level. Yikes, this is a slander pod for Sacramento. But you know, Delano comes in, he was excellent in his first half shift, you know, 6 assists in 9 minutes. I'm not sure why he didn't play in the second half. I would be curious to hear some of the reporters ask Nick about that. You know, Svi with 11 off the bench. You know, and even Isak Bongo, who checked in late in the game, just to give Scotty Barnes a bit of a rest there. Even Bongo got a little putback layup at the end there. So literally every single person who played for the Raptors scored tonight. That's 11 players total. That's every single healthy body they have available. And because the bench was so strong, the Raptors starters didn't have to play much. Like, you look at it tonight, Pascal played 30. Right, but Fred played 26 minutes. The next fewest minutes total for Fred this season has been 33. I think that was also against the Kings, by the way. Oh wow, the Kings! If only the Raptors could be in the same, like, even just not even the same, like, you know, division, just even the same conference with the Kings would be nice. Honestly, I just want to see this team like over and over again. This team is just one of the favorite teams you would want to see on the NBA calendar if you're a struggling NBA player, because they're just like the antidote to everything. That would be struggling for your team. And the Raptors twice now have you know, just smacked the Kings. And yeah, the starters didn't even have to play that much because the bench was just that good, especially in the in you know, just to break this game wide open at the end of the first quarter. The Raptors went with a bench lineup that was Scotty plus the bench. Now, you know, if you've heard this podcast, like, I have you know, continuously harped on this point, is just that the Raptors have really struggled to find these like transitional lineups, usually with the bench, except, you know, which starter do you put with them? We've seen Gary plus the bench last game. We saw a lot of Pascal plus the bench. This game, we didn't really see either of that, because really what we saw was Scotty with the bench. Now, when it was Scotty, it was Utah, it was Delano at first, and then it was Malachi in the second half. You know, it was Champagne and it was Svi. That was the five-man group. And I thought, well, first off, it's hard to judge because it's the Kings, and they were just so bad overall. But like, it was also just really interesting to see the Raptors with that group, because they were starting to run a lot more actions. There was a lot less like ISO. Let's find the starter. Let's give him every single shot. You know, that's what they did with Gary. That's what they did with Pascal. And it was a little bit easier to guard that kind of offense with little movement. you know, very little playmaking. Even just the shooting wasn't the greatest as well, obviously. There's a lot of issues with that lineup. But I thought today the Raptors bench, you know, played a lot more cohesively as a unit. You saw a lot more the team running actions. You saw guys, you know, who are bench players or role players start to do things outside of the role. And I'm not even saying that in a bad way, because sometimes you do things outside your role as a bench player and your numbers look kind of bad, or it you know, you're forcing your shot or whatever, right? We've seen definitely players struggle with that. But I think what we saw in tonight's game was like the healthy and positive example of players, you know, playing above themselves, the role players sort of extending their abilities, because you saw Yuta Watanabe, you know, drive all the way downhill to the basket to get for a layup. You saw Yuta take a crossover and take a mid-range pull-up too when he had the mismatch against Tristan Thompson. You saw Yuta drive, spin move, finish in the lane. That's a lot of stuff that he doesn't normally do. You saw Svi drive to the basket, you know, beat the defender to the spot and then throw down a left-handed dunk, right? You saw Malachi Flynn sort of wheeling and dealing. You saw Delano just running the point beautifully. Like, there was a lot more of that. And then plus the fact that I think with Scotty in the middle, he does have a lot of mismatches that he can go to. So they were using Scotty in a lot of different situations, because I think Scotty, for him, he's not like I wouldn't say he's a natural scorer in the sense that he doesn't have that like scoring mentality all the time. But the thing with Scotty that you can do is that, like, you could put him in the post, you can put him in the pick and roll, you can play dribble handoff with him. Like, he could just do so many things. And I think, honestly, with him just offering a variety of skills, that kind of almost forced the Raptors to run just a different set of plays each time down. Like, it wasn't just like, okay, let's, you know, spread out, let's put the ball to Pascal in the middle of the floor and let's see what he can do. If he can beat 1-on-5, or it's not like, let's just give the ball to Gary. Let's have him try to, you know, take a mid-range pull-up jumper from, you know, either the top of the floor, or he drives to the baseline and fades away. Like, it wasn't that. It was like the Raptors actually running their regular offense. And again, the Kings are just so bad. I mean, like, you know, it's very easy to hold on and just dispatch of this team. But at the same time, the Raptors looked really good. And the Kings, obviously, not so much. To be honest, the only thing that the Kings had going for them was offensive rebounding. Alex Len with an incredible stat line. 8 offensive rebounds, 0 defensive rebounds. This guy had, I'm looking at the stat sheet right now because it's listed offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, total rebounds. This guy gave me an 808 in a heartbreak in terms of his return to Toronto. Wasn't that effective overall, because like the Raptors were scoring on him at the basket. And he's supposed to be a rim protector, although obviously we saw the Tampa season, he's not that much of a rim protector. But the offensive rebounds was killing the Raptors. They had 19, the Kings did. And some of that is obviously the Raptors not having their centers, you know, Kim and Precious. Meanwhile, they had Tristan Thompson and guys like even Marvin Bagley was getting in on the act. And then Alex Len, the three of those guys combining for 14 offensive rebounds. So you don't usually see the Raptors out-rebounding in that fashion. But then again, if you miss every shot you take, there's a lot of offensive rebounds available, and the Kings have definitely bought into that philosophy in terms of just missing shots. So, you know, easy win, and I have a lot of things to discuss. So, you know, we haven't done this in a while, so let's we could take some calls as well. You can call into the program at 416-870-0590 or 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell phone. Once again, that's 416-870-0590 or 1-888-666-0590 *590 on your cell phone. If you don't want to call, you can also text at 590-590. Please include your name and your location. Of course, you can also hit me up on Twitter as well at @William_Lou. Let's go to our first caller. We have Richard in Montreal. What's going on?
Hey, Will. I just wanted to touch base on Utah's performance. I think that's it's a real big confidence booster, and I don't know if it's just the way the bench played today that allowed him to get into the flow of things. But he just seemed extremely calm and just did more than like we have seen him do or expected him to do in a sense.
Yeah, I think, well, first off, I think just that whole bench group played really unselfish, right? The way the bench played tonight, and I only mean tonight because it has not been true of like 90% of the games this season. But the way the bench played tonight was almost similar to like the bench mob days, you know, which we all remember from that season when the Raptors were the one seed and they won 59 games, and Pascal, Fred, guys like that off the bench. Like, that group just played unselfish, played really beautiful just defense, but also just played a lot in transition. And I think for Utah, like, you know, sometimes when you're a role player, like, you're probably just going to try to defer to the starters as much as possible. But at the same time, I think for him, like, he's also just has this, like, almost like he's a little bit too polite in a way. And, you know, he's almost trying to get out of certain players' way. And the thing with Yuta is that he actually has an expanded skill set offensively. Like, yes, his best role would be to catch and shoot for threes. But if you've seen him play at the Olympic level, if you've even seen him play at some of the G League level, like, there's clearly a handle there. He's able to, you know, he has got good size. He can take shots from different spots on the floor. He can score, and he's decent in transition. The thing is, like, you know, I just don't feel like he feels the permission to do any of the other stuff. And I'm not saying that that's from Nurse. I think that's just for his own mentality, because there's obviously a lot of other guys on this team that can score better than him. But he can do some stuff. And I think tonight, really, this is like the best case scenario for Yuta, in the sense that, like, you saw him defend, right? He played with incredible energy, 10 rebounds. I thought just him chasing, you know, Buddy Hield around was great. Buddy obviously is a threat from three. And he did get 11 threes off, which is, you know, not ideal. But at the same time, when you watched a lot of the game, Yuta was chasing him off the line and stuff like that. Like, he was just really in the rhythm of the game. And honestly, if you play defense that well, like, you deserve to take a few shots here and there. And for Yuta, like, the more he can establish himself as more than just a straight up catch and shoot corner three-point shooting threat, I think it's just going to really help improve the bench as a whole. Look, listen, I understand if Yuta wants to defer to Fred or Pascal or Gary or OG or Scotty, like, that's fine to me, right? But the other guys, like, Yuta is not any less talented offensively than some of these other guys. And I'm really happy to see him score, you know?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I believe it is his first double-double.
Yeah, there you go, Yuta. I hope, I don't know how they do these things in basketball, I guess, but, you know, just take the game ball home, Kyle Lowry style.
100%. Just for that.
Yeah, there you go.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, and have yourself a good evening, Will.
All right. Thanks, Richard. Honestly, I'm pretty happy with Yuta. 12 points, 5 of 8 shooting, 2 of 4 from 3. I think for him, I do want to see the three-pointers sort of extend to the top of the floor as well, because I think you could just run so many more actions when you have the ability to shoot from the top as well as from the corners. The corners, you're usually getting driving kicks, or the ball is going to swing around. Like, there's a great play where Malachi reversed the ball to Gary. Gary then did a really quick swing pass to Yuta, and he knocked down the three. That was beautiful to see. But the corner, like, you're almost always relying on an assist. Whereas, like, of course, I'm not saying I want you to take, like, pull-up threes at the top like KD or James Harden, who's going to, you know, play the Raptors tomorrow. But what I do want to see, though, is, like, you know, when you're the trailer in a transition sequence, right, there's lots of threes available in those sequences. When you're sort of, you know, and you're seeing a lot in the last two games, Yuta is being guarded by centers or whatever, you screen with him, and then he pops out to the three-point line, and he catches and shoots. Well, you're not really going to pop to the corner. You really pop back to the top of the floor. So I do want to see Yuta start to knock down more the looks from the top. That's really going to change his sort of just effectiveness overall. But I mean, I think I've been pretty happy with Yuta. Like, this is clearly the most friendly Yuta Watanabe program. he's looked great. But honestly, I think for a lot of the guys, you know, off the bench tonight looked really strong. I thought, for example, just to see the point guard play that being that good off the bench was kind of incredible. Obviously, Fred has carried that position this season, which is what you would expect. But at the same time, you know, I think we've only seen it in flashes with Malachi, and we've only seen it flashes with Delano. I thought in the first half, Delano was the Raptors, like, I wouldn't say he was the Raptors' best player, but he was so good, like, in the first half. I think his distribution was so strong. He was using his size advantage really well against Davion Mitchell, who, by the way, if you told me between Mitchell and Banton, who was the first round pick, I mean, just based on the disappointment alone, I would probably go with Banton, just because of some of the stuff that he was doing was rare. Like, you know, like, Mitchell, for example, like, he's obviously known for his defense and things like that. Delano was just driving straight at him, and yeah, the guy's known for his defense, but Delano was 6'9". So even if he couldn't, like, get past Mitchell, as soon as he got, like, one or two steps in the paint, Delano could just shoot the little hook shot over him, the little push shot over him. Nothing Mitchell could really do about that, right? That, when you look at that, that's talent. When you look at the way Banton was, you know, well, I think the, one of the things Ben has done really well this season, and most of his assists are, you know, outside of transition, it, most of his half-court assists are of this variety where Delano drives, he comes around a screen or even doesn't use a screen, and he goes straight downhill towards the basket so fast that somebody is rotating over. And that's where Delano has done a really good job making passes along the baseline. So if you watch some of his plays tonight, he made a really hard drive, got to the baseline, and then found Justin Champagne in the dunker spot at the edge of the paint, who got in for a layup. Another play, Delano, same result on the left side of the floor, drives downhill towards the baseline and then kicks it out to the corner. And it's he finds Yuta for a corner three, you know, and those are the kind of things that he can do on a consistent basis. But I also think that, like, there's also a really nice two-man chemistry with Delano and Scotty as well. Obviously, we've seen that off the court, or even from the day they got drafted and coming to Toronto and, you know, going to Drake's house and going to OVO and going to Real Jerk and all this other stuff. Like, obviously, they're friends and stuff like that. But, like, I think you're starting to see, like, the tangible results of them having chemistry on the court too. And what I mean by that is one play that really stood out to me was in the second quarter, this is like early in the second quarter, Scotty was filling the lane and he was running really hard in transition, right? Clearly in this game, the Raptors' emphasis was let's run, right? The Kings want to play fast, let's play faster. And the Raptors were buying that. Scotty was buying into that. So Scotty's filling the lane and he's running really hard. This is a semi-transition opportunity. And Delano, I don't know if he was thinking somewhere else or whatever. He just didn't like see Scotty, right? And you could tell that Scotty was like not upset. He's just like, oh, there's a missed opportunity, right? Seems like they discussed it because like about two plays afterwards, the ball is inbounded to Delano. It's another semi-transition opportunity. And Delano gives Scotty the quick advance pass and Scotty's able to get downhill and score in transition. And I think some of these small things, like I think they've really done a good job of just pairing well, the two of them. But yeah, overall, I thought you got such good point guard play from the backups tonight, which is just something that hasn't happened much this season. You know, you got it from Delano, but you also saw a continuation of that from Malachi Flynn in the second half. Now, for me, I was a little confused as to like what's going on. Why did Delano not play in the second half? Nick Nurse did explain after the game, by the way, that Delano wasn't feeling well, and that's why he didn't play the second half. It, by the way, to be clear, it was a non-COVID illness, although Nurse does not expect him to travel with the team for tomorrow's game. You know, that's a little tough. Like, I got to say, that's a little tough. But clearly, you know, Delano was playing well enough to get to the second half. But the nice thing is, okay, so Delano's not going to play for the second half because he's not feeling well, or whatever. And of course, at this point in time, of course, you want to take every precaution. So we got to turn to Malachi. Malachi comes in and arguably was even stronger. Now, very different style of game, right? Delano is more pass first. You know, he can score too, but he's mostly looking to score like on the beats in between. His priority is the pass. I think Malachi comes in and he's expected to play first off a different style of game. But also, he just looks for a shot a little bit more. And I thought when he came in the second half, at first it was like, okay, what are you going to do? And I thought at first maybe it was because, well, the Kings have Mitchell. And he, you know, second half, Mitchell was picking guys up full court, really pressuring, really turning guys. You know, he was like hounding Fred. Fred had one of those sequences where he just barely beat the 8-second count trying to cross half court because Mitchell had turned him two or three times just with the pressure on the ball. But second half, you got Malachi coming in. And well, first off, I mean, having a strong ball handler does obviously help you. And I do think Malachi is a better ball handler than Delano at this stage. But then Malachi comes in and he's hitting like all sorts of jumpers. He's catching and shooting for three. He's crossing guys up. He was getting to the mid range, the pull up. He was looking really good. I don't know what to say. Like 14 points in 14 minutes off the bench, instant offense. This is kind of almost exactly the type of role that the Raptors want to see from Malachi, in the sense that he was pesky on defense. Two steals, I'm not going to lie to you, when I watched the course of the game, I was like, okay, he's going to have two steals, but they're kind of like two really bad passes by the Kings. But nevertheless, like, you know, two steals, immediately turned those into transition opportunities, some really nice bounce passes, and just looked so polished offensively off the bench. And I think the scoring skill set was there for Malachi. And yeah, when you look at that position, to get 18 points from the point guard spot on the backups with seven assists between them, two steals, three rebounds, to shoot, you know, 8 of 11 with two threes in 25 minutes from your backup point guard by committee, That's really damn good. And that's something the Raptors have not had this season. Obviously, Fred having to play like 40 minutes a night is, you know, not ideal. And hey, look, you're about to play a back-to-back, and Fred's a veteran. So you limit his minutes to 26 minutes a night. Fred did more, the only thing Fred might be sore after tonight is how much towel waving he was doing, cheering on these guys, because the Kings sucked that badly. And, he looked so happy with his guys. And I'm sure if Fred talks after the game, he'll tell you that he's thrilled to be getting a little bit of time off here because, you know, he's definitely done his turn carrying them. But honestly, though, like, it was just a good performance for everybody. I think, for example, Chris Boucher, who continues to be in the starting lineup, obviously Precious being out with the COVID protocols and things like that. To be clear, the team has said that he is not positive. He has not tested positive for COVID, but at the same time, he is still just taking precautions in terms of just taking a couple of extra days here just to make sure that, nothing pops up. So he's not available. So Chris Boucher makes his third straight start, and Chris continues to look really strong with the starters. 17 points, 5 rebounds, and assists tonight. I thought for him, I mean, the 2 threes he made tonight was obviously super encouraging considering the fact that he hasn't shot the 3 well this season. But I liked the approach in the sense that in the first half, he was so fast running in transition. The Raptors obviously playing this up-tempo game against Sacramento. They definitely want to, the Kings want to play fast, but they're also super sloppy, so they don't know how to defend fast, which means the Raptors are able to get easy baskets. And a lot of that is you want Chris to be able to run the floor in transition and pick up these chances, and that's exactly what he did. He kept going to the rim, playing the screen and roll game with Fred, you know, being in the dunker spot when Pascal was ready for him. And I thought the two of those guys, Fred and Pascal, just kept finding Chris, and Chris did a really good job of going to the basket and getting himself easy baskets. Look, he can be a very effective player when he plays with a starting group. We saw that last season, right? Even when he came off the bench, you know, he spent a lot of time with the Raptors starters because he was obviously the first sub off the bench. There are some players who can't play with the Raptors starters, but for the most part, Alex Len, for example, is one of them. Chris can do that. He can be productive in those minutes, and I thought he really fed off the energy of the other guys. And the only thing for Chris is just I wish he did a better job of boxing out. You know, Alex Len was just – I don't know. Alex Len was eating his lunch. But, I mean, look, it's fine. Like, you don't want to look, it's very important to give the other team a little bit of face. And at least the Raptors kept it respectable. I don't really know, to be honest. The Alex Len had 8 offensive rebounds. Other than that, the Kings might have lost by 40 tonight. I thought Pascal, in terms of changing his approach, was also really good in the sense that he started this game off looking for the jumper, and there were two like wide open threes that he got. One off a very rare but also very promising Gary Trent Jr. driving downhill, beating the defense, getting to the basket, drawing the help defender midair, kick out two Pascal on the perimeter. I was like, wow, I didn't know Gary had these kind of playmaking chops, especially the driving and kicking aspect. That was a really great play. And Pascal missed that three. And then there was another play where Fred drove and kicked to Pascal, and Pascal missed the three. So I was like, look, you know, maybe the jumper's not really going for him. A couple, you know, mid-range jumpers also spilled out for him. I was like, oh man, please don't let this be the repeat of the Kings game or the Knicks game. But it wasn't, of course, because Pascal just decided, okay, that's fine. I'm a very skilled player. I can play inside and out. And I thought as soon as Pascal started like focusing more on getting downhill, trying to get whatever he wanted, that's generally speaking, he got whatever he wanted. Like he was 0-for-3 from three, but he was 8-for-12 in the 2-point range. I mean, the Raptors tonight, just in general, were just torching the Kings from 2-point range. But Pascal in particular, just always getting downhill, being able to find his space. And look, there's nobody on the Kings here that can really guard him. Like, you might look at it like, okay, Harrison Barnes is tall, similar size. You might say Metu is tall and similar size and decently athletic. Bagley's, you know, same kind of deal. Listen, Pascal is just – these guys aren't really there. I mean, look, first off, the Kings did a really bad job helping at the rim. You know, that's just in general. Like, the Raptors scored so easily at the rim. Like, you know, I, if Sfi is driving, like, straight line drive and then dunking on your shot blockers, you don't have shot blockers. But – you know, Pascal was just showed a really strong relentlessness. And then, of course, he was also really smart with his movement and cutting. Like, there's one play where Fred drove and kicked it to Pascal in the corner, except Pascal, after reading the play, instead of staying in the corner, he actually curled and sort of got himself almost, in like a pick and roll scenario, even though he wasn't the screener, he was just kind of curling out of the corner, curls out of the corner because he knows that if he catches the ball with a step moving towards the basket, he's going to draw the help defender over to him, and he's able to throw the extra pass to Boucher for the dunk. Like, there's just a lot of nice sequences, and Pascal's interior passing has always been really nice. Of course, now that he's playing a lot more at the top of the floor, now that he's playing a lot more isolation basketball, and sort of his role has changed, he hasn't been able to use the interior passing as much. But going back to the, you know, the bench mob thing, like back in the bench mob days, him in terms of just his two-man game with Jakob Poeltl, it was just a beautiful thing to watch. And I've kind of missed that interior passing of late. But the one thing Poeltl does is that he's a really strong rim runner, like, and he's relentless and he's energetic and he's going to go to the basket over and over again. And that's something that Chris has given him in the last few games here. And Pascal has happily fed Chris. So a lot of good performances to talk about. And I want to talk about Scotty as well. I want to talk about Gary as well. But, you know, as we keep continuing to get more callers, all the callers want to give Utah love. So we have Tuba, who was just at the game.
Hi. I just got off the game. It was so good. Utah was incredible. So I know you love Utah as well. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts on Utah. And also on Chris Boucher from Montreal, who was so freaking good today.
Yeah. Well, first, I could just turn off your radio for a sec. But yeah, I mean, I thought, the Raptors, so look, some of these people are, there's not an offense to call someone a hustle guy, but like some of these guys just play and make their money off their hustle. I thought same deal with Utah, same deal with Chris. Like both of these players played so hard tonight. I mean, there was a play in the second half where Utah was trying to like pressure somebody near half. And I think he even like dove on the floor, or maybe he slipped or whatever, but he's pressuring so hard that far from the rim. The game is already over basically from the second quarter onward, but him and then Chris like is great. And then honestly, when they like make all these hustle plays, when they're getting downhill to the basket, I don't want to see Chris try the jumper a few times. And obviously Chris with the two threes, that was the only time the Raptors offensively didn't look that good was in the third quarter. You know, they kind of missed a couple of shots, and it was Chris who made two threes that just kept the Kings at a comfortable like 20-point hole. So
yeah,
it's a great performance.
Also, home crowd is wonderful today.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. All right. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. The Kings, look, it's probably going to be a good time. I know people, when they buy tickets to see, visiting teams, obviously, you want to see the best teams. You want to see Golden State. You want to see Milwaukee. You want to see Brooklyn and the Lakers, I guess. I guess technically that's for clout more than anything else. It's not that good of a team right now. But if you want to just have a good time, like pick a bad opponent, the tickets are probably going to be cheaper. They're probably going to be on like a Monday like this game is. And you'll probably have a better time, honestly, because, it's always fun when you see a win. So, the other guys I want to touch on, I thought Scotty was really, really, really interesting in this game. Again, you see something new from Scotty every game. So, obviously, today, one of the highlights offensively for him was, he had a pull-up jumper at the end of the first quarter to beat the first quarter buzzer. That was nice to see, just like a little mid-range pull-up. He also hit a catch and shoot three. I forget who kicked it out to him. Maybe Pascal or probably Pascal or Fred. Those are the two main kickout guys. Although Gary was doing a little bit of that too. But I think for Scotty, one of the things that's really interesting in the last two games here, especially, is just that he's getting more and more comfortable playing interior defense. And for him, obviously, if he's going to be the primary shot, he's the primary defender on the ball. A lot of times, his man's going to try to drive against him, right? Because he's going to play them tight on the perimeter. It's obviously hard to shoot over a guy who has a 7'3" wingspan closing out to you on the perimeter. You're probably not going to shoot over the top of that, but you might drive into it. So a lot of teams have like driven into the paint against Scotty and then like dumped it off to like whoever is in the dunker spot or whatever, and basically try to play in the paint. And Scotty has really done a good job of just sniffing all that stuff out and blocking everything. I mean, tonight, 5 blocks for Scotty Barnes. And he obviously, the Kings, did have a couple of players who can get downhill. De'Aaron Fox, Haliburton. What's going on with Haliburton? Only 2 shot attempts in 22 minutes? That's not good. That's not good. But Harrison Barnes, some, you know, obviously he can, you know, drive downhill a little bit as well. And then Alex Len exclusively in the paint. Like, there was, you know, their starting lineup did try as much as possible to get downhill, considering the fact that they only made three total threes. Wow, damn. Yo, the Raptors bench had more threes made than the Kings starters. That's unbelievable. But anyway, so the Kings obviously couldn't get by a three, so they needed to drive downhill. And I thought Scottie did such a good job of just helping at the basket, protecting. The only thing is just the fouls. Like, he did have picked up four fouls, and that forced him to get out of the game a little bit early in the third quarter. But other than that, I mean, Scottie's just been really promising. And, you know, even though the fact that he hasn't really just had the same role offensively from game to game, it's really interesting to sort of see what he does, you know, in a specific matchup like this, or then what he does in the next game, which he was like almost basically a center in that game. Seeing games where he's almost like a guard, or some games he's like a small forward. Like, it's kind of interesting to see his role change. But I think for him, it's just like he can do everything. That's the thing when you watch Scottie Barnes. It's like, okay, yeah, he's not going to do everything consistently right now, but he can just straight up do everything on the court. And whether that's like making a little curls, making little cuts, you know, screening and rolling, playing dribble handoff game, the passing, the shot blocking, I mean, the length to deflect passes. I don't know. Scottie Barnes is such an incredible treasure. And of course, Gary Trent Jr., who has been the other like really, really positive surprise this season. Just another really positive game for him. I know that he did make a three tonight, which I think in previous seasons, if you looked at Gary's production, if he doesn't make threes, he's not going to be that useful for you. And I thought that, like, you know, he was, at least his past history up until this season was sort of like, you know, he can play defense a little bit, but mostly he's going to live and die by the jumpers. Well, tonight, the jumpers weren't falling for him in the sense that, I mean, the mid-range jumpers were falling for him. He has incredible balance and footwork on some of those mid-range jumpers. Knows just how to get to his spots in the mid-range and then rise up with balance. It's a real skill to have, and I think he plays at this rhythm, this cadence. If you notice his feet, they're kind of like active, really, really active, but he's able to stop on the dime and get himself perfectly straight up for the shot. And he's got great balance, and that's and of course great touch. And of course, when you have both of those, you're going to make a lot of mid-range jumpers. But he didn't make any threes tonight. 0 for 4 from 3. Some of those were open. Some of those weren't as open. Whatever. But he was still hugely important in this game. First off, the 4 assists tonight for Gary. I got to go back and watch some of those. But he was making some really nice passes. I know the one that didn't even count in his assists was probably his best pass of the game, where he attacked downhill and then kicked it out to Pascal. But Gary, you know, just even from the start of the game, right at the start, you know, there's a play, I forget who it was, somebody on the Kings, I think maybe Len, got the rebound, and Gary Trent Jr. just came in with two hands and just, like, ate the ball. Like, he just clamped the ball away from the Kings player, sparked a fast break. I think Scottie scored. But Gary was great, just going downhill, getting to the mid-range shot, was looking real smooth. But, you know, just a mature game from him. 4 assists, 3 steals, still able to impact the game, plus 19. If you're, you know, in 31 minutes, just a really nice performance from Gary. And again, really, really well-balanced performance that, you know, I think these are the games that coaches love. I think these are the games, first off, the fans love, because it was fast and no stress. The Raptors were up the whole time. You got to see a lot of guys do a lot of things you haven't seen them do before. But at the same time, you know, you're able to just appreciate the fact that every single player on the team can go home feeling like they did their job tonight. And I think it's been rare to sort of see some of that stuff. So before we go, I wanted to address some of the texts that we have received and also some of the tweets that I've gotten. So first one, say Bing Bonga for me, please. Will, this is from Ailish, obviously one of the three wonderful hosts of the Fan Morning Show. Yeah, Bing Bonga. This is an Ailish. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that's, I believe, an Ailish invention. I think she, obviously being a gigantic Raptors 905 fan, making her way down to Mississauga to go to Paramount to watch Bonga, which, by the way, if you've never seen Bonga the G League level, you have to see it because, yeah, I mean, as much as Bing Bonga is a great nickname, the other nickname that I have invented for Bonga is that he's LaBonga James at the G League level, because he dominates and he fills every statue down there and then comes up here and has 2 points. But look, you know, pretty good game for Bing Bonga. Another text, this one from Jay Rich in Guelph. Hey, Will, after the stress of previous bench performances, I've got to tip my hat to the Benchmob 2.0, hoping that builds. By the way, Svi almost got the 3 3-pointers to get out of Alex's slander. Yeah, that was incredible because Svi hit 2 threes, I believe, in the first quarter. If not the first quarter, then like really, really early in the game. So I was already, I was texting Alex like, hey, you know, history is about to be made. Like, you know, are you watching? Oddly enough, didn't get a response until the fourth quarter, which I was a little surprised by because Alex is obviously very active on Twitter. You know what he tweeted me? He tweeted me, lol, not going to lie, I napped during the second and third. All right, I'm sorry, Alex, but I'm not that sorry, man. What's going on? Yeah, this guy really took the second and third quarters off. Don't worry, I'm sure Alex will go back and watch the game thoroughly and take notes. That's definitely in keeping his character. But in any case, with Svi, like, I mean, it was weird because the second half, it almost felt like he was, like, trying to like drive and operate more than he was trying to like look for the threes. And first half, I thought he got guys setting it up for him, Delano mostly, but Scotty as well. Second half, it felt like everybody could just get whatever shot they wanted. So they kind of just took turns getting that downhill, and it's a different approach. Both worked, but Svi was more focused on making poster dunks in the second half. And look, he just couldn't get that third three. So we're just gonna have to keep looking for that one. We got Sam from Montreal writing in saying, I remember a quote from Nick Nurse about Boucher playing well in the starting lineup. What do you think has really helped Boucher change things up, minus the chuck up shots? I mean, first off, when you play with the starting lineup, guys are going to create shots for you. It's, you know, when he plays with the bench has a really difficult time getting into their offense. Tonight, it was obviously an exception, but, the starters generally get into their offense. There's obviously a lot more guys that demand a lot of attention. Fred demands a lot of attention. For example, Fred is a pull-up three-point shooting threat off the pick and roll. So if you're a team that is going to chase over the top, and or if you're going to trap pick and rolls, or if you're going to even just show at the three-point line, that allows Boucher a good chance opportunity there to get open. There's a play, for example. I mean, this is not like a trapping pick and roll situation, but Fred was able to get downhill, draw two defenders to him, get the defenders to commit, the shot blocker to come over and commit, and then he threw a pass over the back to Boucher, who was able to cut in behind him for the layup. There's just a lot more plays being made available. There's a lot better spacing. It's night and day. And I think Chris is a very capable offensive player, especially when guys are setting him up. And, yeah, I thought tonight, you know, Chris did a really good job with that. But also as part of just like, you know, I think what the Raptors hope for with Chris is just like, as a veteran player, and at least definitely as one of the older players on the team, one of the players the most experienced in the Raptors system, hopefully he brings some of that to the second unit, because that's what the second unit really needs, generally speaking, is somebody to come in and just play their role consistently, to run their offense and run their offense, but like just participate in the sets, in the regular offense. And, you know, Chris was able to do that tonight. And then last one, Mike on the 410. Okay. Great to see Watanabe and Flynn play well. The Raptors need them to take some minutes off the starters. Any updates on OG? So Nick was asked pregame about OG. Doesn't sound like he's going to be anywhere close to coming back. So who knows with this team? I think I wouldn't always take them at their word in terms of the injuries, but at the same time, you know, we haven't even seen OG at practice or anything like that. And that would be the first step for him coming back, would be like, we see him at practice, you eventually see him warming up before the game, and then 2 or 3 days later, you hear that he's going to be back in the lineup. I'm sure that day will come at some point, but so far it doesn't seem imminent. And that's a little distressing. In terms of some of the tweets, got Matt here, Suzuki tweeting in, love the Scotty Malachi pick and roll, want to see more of it. Liked Gary end of the third quarter, taste of what you get end of the game. Don't hate the shot, better option than what we've seen recently. Will Scotty be the greatest fourth pick? I mean, Svi also made the right play on the fast break, Utah. So I mean, basically Matt has written 10 things for me, and that's a huge thank you. I'm just gonna, you know, make sure I reference some of these plays. But yeah, I mean, obviously there were a lot of great things there, and the Raptors ran the fast break beautifully tonight. I thought everybody did a really good job of just operating. I mean, they might have squandered maybe one pick and roll all game. So one fast break all game. And that's something that the Raptors have needed to improve, because they do play in the fast break a lot. And against a team like the Kings, you're going to be breaking all the time. So make sure you get those. T. Meyer writes in, not much to learn from that game since the Kings play no D, but it's encouraging to see the bench produce. Would have liked to see Banton in the fourth quarter. Why do you think Nurse is reluctant to play Banton and Malachi together? Honestly, they probably would have played together if apparently that Banton was not feeling a little bit under the weather. So hopefully he's okay in that front. And obviously, you know, you just got to knock on wood, really. But the COVID thing is just, you just have to be super safe. You just don't want to see a situation like what is playing out in other places in the league, like Chicago, for example. So that does it mostly for the texts and the tweets and the calls. Thanks to everybody sending in their messages and everything like that. Clearly, after a win, it's always a celebratory mood. And truthfully, like, I would like to criticize something because, you know, just generally I have a high standards for what I see. But I mean, there's nothing to criticize. The Raptors played beautifully. So in terms of your three stars tonight, I mean, wow. I guess I would give the first star to, you know what? Honestly, the main guys get the stars all the time. First star for me is going to go to Delano Banton. I thought Delano played so well in the first half. Obviously, didn't play that much, only 9 minutes, but 4 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists in that stretch, plus 11 in those 9 minutes. Got the Raptors off to a great separation there in the first quarter and also the second quarter. Raptors never looked back from that point. I thought Delano was the best player with that group, honestly. Even though I thought Scotty was making good plays, but Ben was so impressed with me. He's going to get my first star. Second star, I'm going to give it to Malachi Flynn. 14 points, 2 steals off the bench, 6 of 8 shooting, 2 threes. Just a really strong performance from him in terms of his shot creating, his shot making. Obviously, we want to see this against, like, you know, on a more consistent basis because the Raptors could really use some scoring off the bench, any scoring off the bench. And Malachi does have a scoring skill set. Obviously, he's small, but he has a lot of skill. And finally, we're able to see it tonight in action. He put it all together. And he's kind of a, like a lot of small guards are, he's kind of scores in spurts rather than just like a consistent get a bucket whenever he wants kind of type. Usually, if you're going to be that kind of player, you need to go to the rim all the time. And Malachi is obviously more perimeter, but he was very strong today. So that was his best game. I'm getting the second star. And then Utah, first career triple-double, 12 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal off the bench in 26 minutes. Pretty strong defense as always, but I just liked seeing the offense spin move, pull-up jumpers, driving for layups. It was a great performance from Utah. And of course, obviously, the rebounds as well. 10 rebounds off the bench to lead the Raptors. And then your Gerald Henderson Award winner. It's got to go to Alex Len. 12 points, 8 offensive rebounds. This guy was just putting everything back in the basket. So strong performance from the Raptors. Obviously, the Raptors have a much bigger test coming up tomorrow. So I'll be back to recap that one. And before I go, I want to remind listeners to continue to rate, review, and subscribe to The Raptors Show wherever you find podcasts. That's where you'll find the Monday to Friday show with myself and Alex, and also where you're going to find the reaction podcast episodes. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, everyone, for subscribing. And I'll be back tomorrow to recap the next game.